Our pericope of Scripture for this evening comes from the letter of Paul to the Romans, in particular, Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from God for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abram are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise: at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on them whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, through the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Esaias said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after the righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be afraid. Now, especially it's verses 13 through 16 that are my text. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word again this evening. In light of this particular sermon on God's particular love, I want to read a couple excerpts from the Canons of Dort, page 59 in the back of your Psalters. Page 59, Article 10. The good pleasure of God is the sole cause of this gracious election, which doth not consist herein that out of all possible qualities and actions of men, God has chosen some as a condition of salvation, but that he was pleased out of the common mass of sinners to adopt some certain persons as a peculiar people to himself. Article 11. And God himself is most wise, unchangeable, omniscient, and omnipotent, so that election made by him can neither be interrupted nor changed, recalled or annulled, neither can the elect be cast away nor their number diminished. Article 12, the elect in due time, though in various degrees and in different measures, attain the assurance of this their eternal and unchangeable election, not by inquisitively prying into the secret and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves with a spiritual joy and holy pleasure the infallible fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God. And then yet Article 14. As the doctrine of divine election by the most wise counsel of God was declared by the prophets, by Christ himself, and by the apostles, and is clearly revealed in the scriptures, both in the Old and New Testament, so it is still in the church to be preached, published in due time and place, for which it was peculiarly designed, provided it be done with reverence in the spirit of discretion and piety for the glory of God's most holy name, and for the enlivening and comforting of his people, without vainly attempting to investigate the secret ways of the Most High. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, we have now for some time been looking at the love of God. What a precious doctrine to look at in the midst of schism in the church. We have seen that God is love. We have seen that love is a bond of perfection. We have seen that God has manifested his love in the giving of Jesus Christ. And we have experienced that love by the work of the Holy Spirit as it spreads it abroad in our hearts. We have heard and enjoyed that God's love is everlasting, unchanging. Now, tonight, by God's grace, we take notice that God's love is particular. And what is the importance of that truth? Sovereign, particular love. The fact a love that is unto salvation, and then thirdly, the comfort of that love. In Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the question about Israel. More specifically, how is it to be explained? How is it possible that many in Israel did not receive the promise? That so many of those Israelites were rejected? Many, many of the Jews had no part in the salvation that God had prepared for his people. How is it possible that the nation as such was rejected? That caused the Apostle Paul great sorrow. What powerful words he says uses there in the beginning of this chapter. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I'm sure there are here those parents in our audience who could say those words too. I wish I were accursed rather than having an unbelieving, disobedient child turn away from the faith. Why is this? Where is the faithfulness of God's promise to Abraham, I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee in their generations? Has God failed? Has the word of God failed? And to use Paul's words, God forbid. Not all the descendants of Abraham are to be accounted as children of the promise. All is not Israel that are of Israel. All the natural children of Abraham by the flesh are not children of the promise. There was Isaac, and there were other children by Abraham of Hagar and then of Keturah. But it is only Isaac receives the promise. That's the first proof of God's sovereign discrimination. There's a second proof given to us, Jacob and Esau. Though they were both the seed of Isaac to whom the promises were given, Jacob was accepted, Esau rejected. Jacob alone is the child of the promise. How come? The cause, the ground is God's free, sovereign love. God says, Jacob I have loved, Esau have I hated. God's free and sovereign predestination. So, the fact, it is a love unto salvation and the comfort for us. God's love is particular. That is the great error of common grace, isn't it? That doctrine that was adopted by the Christian Reformed Church in 1924, the error of common grace, God has a certain favor or love for all mankind, elect and reprobate. And all around us is the Arminian teaching in churches that God loves all mankind. God loves everyone. It belongs to God's very nature to love, because God is love. They say God cannot hate. God cannot and will not reprobate people. God does not determine to condemn them to everlasting condemnation because of their sins. They say God in his love gives everyone an opportunity to be saved. And only when a person obstinately and persistently refuses to repent of his sin does God condemn. God offers, they say, his love to everyone. And thus, the church, they say, is called to preach the well-meant offer. God wants to save everyone. The church is told then to tell everyone, God loves you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God wants to save you. There was a minister in the Christian Reformed churches who considered himself a conservative in that church. He wrote a book entitled Unconditional Good News. And in that book, he writes, God loves all people. Christ died for all people. Only those who consciously and continuously reject him will be judged. Another minister, he was a missionary, wrote, continues to write, that the church should get rid of that confessional truth of reprobation. What those ministers and those churches are doing is pushing a universalism that God loves all men, he hates no one, and if we are willing to accept God's offer and love, God is willing to save us. In other words, God cannot love or save unless man allows him to do it. God is dependent upon the sinner. Beloved, there's nothing certain about that kind of love. There's no comfort there that a love of God is dependent upon my fickle and my sinful heart. That salvation is a matter of man and not God. Let's hear again how the Holy Spirit puts it in verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God's love is particular. That is what distinguishes folk. That is what distinguishes the children of the promise and the children of the flesh, the elect and the reprobate, not the will of God, of man. Isaac stands out over against the other children that Abraham had with his other wives. Jacob and Esau, they had the same parents. They were twin brothers. In fact, Esau should have had the preference because he was the firstborn, possessing the birthright. But the Lord said, the elder shall serve the younger. Rebekah is still pregnant. And in Genesis 25, verse 23, God comes to her and he says, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. The blessing that was usually given to the firstborn now would be for the younger son, not Esau. But Jacob would receive the promise. Why? Why was that told to Rebekah before the children were born? And we read in Romans 9, verse 11, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It's not of man that willeth or runneth, but of God who shows mercy. And as those children would grow up, the oldest one would show himself to be a fornicator while the younger one, the child of the promise, he is chosen not because of his natural characteristics, he was a rascal, but because it was the determination, it was the realization of God's sovereign purpose according to election, God's particular love. Not all the children of Israel, but the children of Abraham, the children of Israel, the people in the world are divided, separated by God's particular love. God gives love to Jacob, not to Esau. Romans 9, verse 13, our text, was earlier expressed in Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. According as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. So that is the truth that is set before God's people, God's particular love. And there are all kinds of attempts to get around that truth. They say that word hate means simply to love less, or to regard and treat with less favor. So they say what the text really means there is, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I loved less. That's not what my or your Bible says. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I loved less, or I loved also, but in a little bit less. Look at Malachi chapter 1. I hated Esau, and I laid his mountains and his heritage waste from the dragons of the wilderness. They will build, but I will throw down. They shall call them in the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. So our text, beloved, does not mean Jacob have I loved, and Esau I also loved, or I loved a little bit less. It is that hatred of Jehovah against Esau that reveals itself in a manifestation of wrath against him and his descendants. The Lord has indignation forever. Another attempt is to say that election is not personal, but it's just national. It's about the nations that are going to come through those two. They say God would not elect one to eternal life and condemn another to hell. That is, beloved, completely contrary to the whole chapter that we read this evening. Jacob and Esau are an illustration of the fact that not all the descendants of Abraham or of Isaac are children of the promise. A distinction was made by God's particular love, electing some, a remnant, rejecting many. Particular love even before the children are born, before they had done either good or evil. You see, election is unconditional. The Word of God teaches the doctrine of a personal election and a personal reprobation. God's sovereign particular love, unearned, undeserved, particular. Not all people, but a certain number. God determined how many and who they are. They are loved by God. They are loved not because Jesus Christ came to save them. They are loved, and therefore Jesus Christ was sent to die and to save them. The truth of God's love, particular. Notice with me, second of all this evening, then, the second point, it is an election unto salvation. Romans chapter 9, verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Some chosen, but nothing to do with who they are, that is, what they have done in their life, or even who their parents are, although God does make the promise that when he saves a person, he saves that person and their family, and in the line of generations, he will draw his elect out. But what is so important here, it is a salvation that is not of man. Because any work that we do as people doesn't last forever. Rather, this is a salvation of God alone. God who made a sovereign discrimination, who draws out a people for himself, a remnant. Oh, the attacks against that truth, that election is unto salvation. The attacks, for example, that election is the basis for God's covenant with his people. And so we are distinguished as a Reformed church from most all other Reformed churches on our doctrine of the covenant. The covenant is not made with every baptized baby in the church. The promise does not come to every baptized baby. But election governs to whom that covenant is established, even while some live within the bounds of the covenant people. The promise does not come to every baby. Election governs the covenant and to those to whom the promise comes. Now, with that truth, there are those who shrug it off as a great mystery. They say, those things belong to the hidden things of God. We shouldn't even talk about it. God talks about it. God is revealing that truth to us through the Apostle Paul as he's writing to the Roman church on this issue. The truth of God's sovereign particular love is an essential part of our Reformed confession, and that's why I read at length from the Canons of Dort. Those doctrines of election and also reprobation have to be preached from the pulpit, taught in the catechism classrooms. For all around us, that false teaching is promoting that God is willing to save all. That on God's part, he offers salvation to everyone. Everywhere around us, that is being preached and taught. There are those who say that our Protestant Reformed churches cannot do mission work without that doctrine of the well-meant offering God's love and desire to save everyone. So salvation is preached as a possibility for all. Man, by his will, has the power to accept or reject. I want you to ask with me, how can those churches and how can those pastors teach that when you have this particular passage open in front of you? And they explain it away. They say it's not speaking about an election to eternal salvation. They say this choice of God, this love of God, doesn't determine the final state of a person. They say Jacob was not predestined to eternal life and Esau was not predestined unto eternal damnation. They say that our text is just dealing with temporal privileges. Theocratic blessings and distinctions. Simply temporal blessings here in this life. The apostle begins in this chapter by talking about the temporal things that all of Israel enjoyed, didn't they? Theirs was the adoption. Theirs was the glory. Theirs was the covenants. Theirs was the giving of the law. Theirs was the service of God. Theirs was the promise, the fathers. And of their flesh Christ came. Yes, they all had that revelation of God as the God of salvation in Christ Jesus. Yes, as a people, all Israel were entrusted with the oracles of God. And yes, only in the way of this revelation is salvation possible. God saves through the gospel preached. But now the question comes in this chapter. Is the Apostle Paul, what is he grappling with really? Is he grappling with why Israel had all those temporal things and the other nations didn't? No, he's not at all. He's grappling with this truth. Why are only some in Israel saved of the Jews while most of them are not? Why? Is it because Israel of itself lost these temporal privileges? And the answer is no. He is sorrowful because the majority of his fellow Jews have not obtained the promise. They have not entered into the kingdom established by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not all that are descended of Abraham had all these privileges, were the people of God. Not all of them would be saved from their sins, for most of them were not the children of the promise. And that promise most certainly is the promise of salvation. God's particular love is a love unto salvation. There is not a love of God that is common that gives good things but not salvation, as was taught way earlier. Not at all. There's one love or grace of God. It is a love of and grace of God that saves. And Jacob and Esau are types in this chapter of the elect and the reprobate. Just as we saw on Good Friday, there was two types of election and reprobation there on the crosses where Jesus was in the midst. Yes, types. In Christ Jesus, God blesses us with all the spiritual blessings in high places. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Yes, as we read later on in chapter 11 of Ephesians 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ Jesus. God's particular love, the doctrine of election, is unto salvation. We are saved. It is for the children of the promise, them alone, that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to stand in their place, to suffer and die their death, that we might have life. They alone are saved. They will be saved. Not one of them will be lost. That brings me to my third point then. The comfort. The comfort of this particular truth. The comfort of God's sovereign particular love. Lots of marvelous and practical comfort. Comfort not to the wicked. The preaching of the gospel cannot make all people feel comfortable. It's been many years ago already when I was still a lad. I was a chaplain in the army, and we had a professor come to speak to all the chaplains in the Christian Reformed denomination. And his topic was common grace. We need common grace, for how else can you bring a gospel to the men and women in the armed forces and make them feel good? And so he's told a story about two homosexual lovers. They had their fling together, and now the one man is dying. His head is in the lap of his lover, and his lover says, "I love you." And he took care of him till he died. And the professor said, "There is common grace." In a time when many Christians, husbands and wives, are divorcing and leaving each other, look at those two men as they love each other to the end. He says, "You need common grace in order to speak to these all these soldiers and make them feel good." That professor was completely wrong. My job as a chaplain and my job as a pastor is not to make everyone feel good. It is to bring the good news that in Jesus Christ alone is their salvation. And in the way of sin and disobedience and rebellion, there's death. There is no comfort for a person who continues consistently, willingly in their sin. There's only a fearful, fearful separation of God forever in hell. As long as a person continues to walk in their iniquity, there's no comfort for them in the whole of the Scripture. Whether a person's in the armed forces or whether a person is here in our Protestant Reformed churches. And when they walk in their sins and iniquity, notice they are not frustrating God's plans or purposes. But eventually, they'll have to confess that God is righteous and their condemnation is just, and their ultimate condemnation lies in God's sovereign purposes. God is righteous. But for God's people, the church, the doctrine of God's sovereign particular love is the ground for their assurance, and it's the source of all their comfort. Personal assurance. Knowing that God's love is sovereign and particular and unchanging. I am assured of my election in Christ. That God's love doesn't depend upon me or my will or my work. Even though I am weak and wavering many times, God's counsel will stand. And as a believer chosen by God, given to Christ Jesus to be saved, no one will pluck them out of the Father's hand or out of Jesus Christ's hand. That the work, the perfect work that he has begun, will be brought to completion. That love of God is always the same to us in our life, and it never changes. I'm assured of my preservation unto glory. It's a love unto salvation. It is a comfort for us as we raise our children. We take God's promise to Abraham and to all believers, "I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee in their generations." God keeps that promise. It doesn't fail. Do some of our children walk away in unbelief and rebellion? They do. And we then, as their parents, cannot beat ourselves and say, "Oh, what did I do wrong? What did I not do so that this child went away? No. Before God's face, we know that we have made known to all of our children the Word of God. We have brought them to church to be baptized, just as Abram brought all of his servants and his whole household to be circumcised. But it is not of us that our children are saved, is it? Maybe we should be even more surprised that any of our children are saved. And why are they saved? Because God is pleased to use godly parents. God is pleased to use the preaching of the gospel in order that those who are chosen by him, given to Jesus Christ, might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and believe on him. That is the confidence of the Apostle Paul, isn't it? As we began our worship service, what is the comfort of the child of God because of God's sovereign particular love? And all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. He asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God. The love of God for his own that saves must be preached. Preached to the ends of the world. Preached here in this community. That God may take the preaching of his word and in the way of that preaching, reach out and convert and bring his own to himself. Why must this particular doctrine be preached so consistently in the church when it brings division? The division between Calvinists and Arminians. Why? Here's a reason. It's all about God, really. It's really about God. What kind of a God have you come to worship tonight? Have you come to worship a God who would like to save, tries to save, but can't save unless you're willing to let him? Is that the God you worship? Who is the Christ Jesus that you believe in? Is it a Christ Jesus that died for every person? But oops, most people aren't saved because they don't believe in him. An incompetent God in Christ? Or do we have a sovereign, powerful, effectual Lord and God and Savior? A God who has chosen, a God who has sent Jesus Christ to save, and by the preaching of the gospel, they are called out of the nations. And they are the church of Jesus Christ. Who is the God that we love and know? God, in his sovereign will and decree, loved some, the elect. He sent Jesus Christ to suffer and die in their place. That's called limited atonement. That is called definite atonement. Jesus died for his sheep, and every one of those sheep will be saved. And so, yes, as believing parents, we have children. We love to have our houses abounding with children. And we know that it has pleased God to save his elect in our generations. To him be the glory. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. That salvation is not by man's work or man's will. But salvation is by God's marvelous mercy alone. We thank thee for that salvation, a salvation completely of thee. Receive our thanks, and now help us to live our lives in thankfulness, in devotion, in love, and in obedience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.